The following programming is sponsored by School of Investing Corporation. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Good morning, I'm Larry Steinhaus, and welcome to Money Chat Now. Money Chat Now is a politically charged stock market pre-show giving you the politics behind the biggest moves in the stock market. It is presented with comedic common sense by an expert in financial literacy, and hey, that's me, Larry Steinhaus. Today is Tuesday, April 12th, and I want to welcome you to the show. We are here live on WWDB Radio 860 AM in Philadelphia, and we are live on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. And of course, if you want to find me, you can find me on Facebook, TikTok, and other social media by searching Larry Steinhaus. Hey, we're about to do a TikTok blast for the Stock Options Sultan. You guys will really enjoy that if you guys are on TikTok. Anyway, just remember, if you're watching online, hit that like button, hit that share button, and don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel if you can find it, and like the Money Chat Now page on Facebook. You can comment live during the show on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, and please be sure to say hi so I know you're watching. Hey, Mark, I see you out there watching. Thanks so much. By the way, if you're commenting from a group and it's not the Money Chat Now fan page, your name may not show up on my dashboard, so please go to Money Chat Now and comment there so I could recognize you. Actually, the Money Chat Now fan page and comment there. All right, Money Chat Now is brought to you by Investor Schooling, and of course, you can attend a complimentary class this Thursday by going to investorschooling.com, and there you will learn about real estate investing, you will learn about stock options trading, and you will learn about how to make more money than you've ever made in your entire life. I promise. All right, today's show, we're going to be discussing, of course, the futures update. The COVIDiots are back. We're going to be talking about Twitter and Elon Musk, PC sales falling, and student loan news. I tell you, if you have a student loan, you definitely want to pay attention to this. All right, let's talk about what happened yesterday. Yesterday, honestly, it surprised me. The Dow closed down about 400 points, and the Nasdaq got crushed again, being down about 300 points. My surprise was that I expected it to be an up day. I really thought that the investors would be placing their bets for the upcoming earnings reports. But then again, I don't know, maybe they did actually. JP Morgan, who was releasing earnings tomorrow morning, hardly moved. In fact, for most of the day, JP Morgan was actually up, and they only closed down about 50 cents. Delta, who will also be releasing earnings on Wednesday, was also up. Look, my American Airlines stock even started to move up again, and it was about 60 cents up at one point. So, by the way, the stock price, American Airlines stock price, is really going to benefit from a good report on Delta Airlines on Wednesday, so I'm obviously looking forward to that. The big tech stocks all moved down, but remember, they have 2 weeks before earnings, so this might not be a surprise after all, because all the people were moving their money from one place to the other. The really weird part yesterday was that we had AT&T and Warner Brothers officially merge, and the new symbol now is WBD, and for some reason, I honestly didn't know it was going to happen yesterday, or I would have mentioned it, but now I have 120 shares of WBD for every 100 shares of AT&T I used to have. The only problem with this trade-off is the dividend. I was expecting a dividend for AT&T, and I don't really see the dividend on WBD, so I'm not really sure how it affects the dividend, but honestly, I don't have that many shares of it anyway, but yeah, the absolute worst is I'll sell it and buy something else. But I'll know, and I'll let you know in a few weeks how the dividend gets affected by that. The market did drop to its lowest point, of course, when the White House released a report saying that it expected inflation to be extraordinarily elevated. Oh, they're prepping the news. I love it. Extraordinarily elevated. This is the college crowd. Hey, let me use a word that I haven't used since I've gone to college. Anyway, the report will release today and we'll see the effect on the market. By the way, no matter what it says, we know that the Fed is going to be raising the interest rate at least a quarter of a point, possibly a half a point, and that's going to be the mystery, whether it's going to be a quarter of a point or a half a point. You know, as I mentioned last week, Wall Street doesn't like mysteries. It would be better if we knew exactly what the Fed intentions were going to be doing. The VIX, on the other hand, is another story, right? The VIX, which is also known as the fear gauge, rose over 3 points. The VIX is basically a calculation that includes basically the amount of stock options that's presented some kind of ratio of puts and calls. Honestly, I have no idea how it's calculated, but the simple concept is that when the VIX goes up, the market moves fast and usually down. And that would explain yesterday. The VIX was kind of up. It was up over 3 points, right? And also, overnight, another thing that happened was we had a strange phenomenon when it was reported that an undisclosed investor sold stakes in German banks. Like, a really big investor sold all his stakes in German banks, right? So everything about this statement is weird. The two obvious questions are, who sold it, and why did they sell it? I don't know, we may find out today. However, this tanked the markets abroad. Sometimes that's a cause and effect problem for us. In other words, sometimes when overseas markets tank, the U.S. markets tank as well. Well, in this case, it may be just the opposite, that our market tanked yesterday, and that's what caused their market to tank. I'm actually wondering if this person in the European banks is somebody from Russia who has a lot of money in European banks and figured, hey, you know, let me try to cause some damage over there. Who knows? Anyway, what worries me about the bank stocks tanking overseas is that earnings season kicks off with banks tomorrow. Hopefully it isn't a tell, but, you know, let's see. Let's take a look at the market real quick, see what's going on right now. Right now we can see that the Dow is up 24, the S&P is up 5, and the NASDAQ is also up 24. That's good. It's good. And hopefully it'll get better than that. I'm actually expecting a big day, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Hey, real quick, I want to say hello to a couple of people online. Hey, we've got, oh boy, let's see. We've got a whole bunch of people online. Let me see if I can get everybody. We got Mark and Vin. Hi, Linda. We have, it looks like, Bill and Jose. Thanks so much. I totally appreciate you guys watching. And keep leaving me your comments. I love it when you guys do. All right, let's talk about the COVIDiots. Oy. Will it ever end? Will it ever end? I mean, not the coronavirus. We already know that that's never going to end, especially because Dr. Frodsky himself said yesterday that we will need to live with this virus forever. Unbelievable. You know, no, Dr. Frodsky, we've been getting colds since the beginning of time, and this is just another of the version of a cold, and yes, we will continue to get them forever. So what is it that will never end? The idiotic responses to the attempt to control the virus. Well, the COVIDiots are at it again. Philadelphia just became the first city to reinstate mask mandates because, as they claim, cases are rising. First of all, dullards in government, if you really believe this is a problem and you really believe that masks work, and we all know they don't, but if they really believe that they work, then why are they reinstating mask mandates on a future date? That's right, the COVIDiots in Philadelphia are so concerned with the virus and how you will catch this cold because you aren't wearing a mask that as of next Monday, you know, the day after Easter when all are gathering in churches and homes, you will need to wear a mask indoors. Unbelievable, right? So here come the sheep. Back to wearing a mask because their mayor said they should, not because there's science to it, not because the science can back it up, not because the CDC says you should wear one, not even because the famous liar of them all, Dr. Frodsky, says you should wear one, because a mayor with a Nazi fetish wants to control the population. Well, Mayor Kenny, maybe you should make bulletproof vests mandatory in Philadelphia. You know, that at least has science to it. Yes, did you know that a bullet can't penetrate a bulletproof vest? Well, at least a standard bullet, that is, anyway. This other idiot of a prosecutor, Lenny Krasner in Philadelphia, you know, the one who tells cops that because they killed a man who was shooting at the cops, they will now be fired for defending themselves? You know, the idiot prosecutor who says let the criminals walk because it's only minor crimes when they hijacked and terrorized a motorist who was visiting Philadelphia? You know, the prosecutor who allowed over 100 people to be killed in the city so far. Yes, we need to mandate bulletproof vests in Philadelphia. By the way, I'd rather visit Ukraine than go to Philadelphia right now. I feel safer. By the way, according to a New York Times article, deaths from coronavirus are at an all-time low. I tried to do the math, but as usual, data isn't easily available. But from what I can see, and it was very difficult to put together, I couldn't get an actual number. I had to graph it, right? There are less people who died of coronavirus than died from murders in Philadelphia. So as mayor, they should mandate bulletproof vests immediately. Oh, in other news, there are only 6 more days before the other Nazi-mandated masks are required on planes. Or is it? Well, reading articles yesterday, I came across an article with the following. extending mask mandates for airplanes on public transportation is still on the table, according to the White House. By the way, are we still allowed to say White House? No, not because, you know, it might be racist, of course, right? But I think the other words, nut house, would be more appropriate. Anyway, the nuts in the house say that they're still deciding if they want to control the population of the sheep further. Yes, the safest, most circulated air on an airplane, is still the only place the virus needs to be protected from. Oh, that and, of course, filthy Delphia. Please, 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 please vote these Democrat jerks out of office. Please. Oh, wait a minute. I just thought of something. Maybe that's the plan. They know midterms are coming, and they know they have to make sure that they can keep mail-in ballots coming. Huh. And we all know that turned out last time. Well, whatever they're doing, Philadelphia, you're getting what you deserve by allowing this nonsense to continue. I actually wonder if people are going to be compliant with this again. Maybe this is the ultimate test. Maybe this is the test that officials are using to see if the sheep will always be sheep. Bah! Ugh. By the way, this is a good time to remind you all of an event that we're having in Bucks County at the Washington Crossing Inn, and we're calling it the Freedom and Finances Event. Look, some of you guys have asked me, like, why are you mixing politics with finances? Well, the past 2 years have shown me, maybe for the first time even, how important the right people in the right political seats really are. Look, when we have cowards and dictators like Governor Wolf in PA and Murphy in New Jersey destroying the lives of businesses, people, and the lives of children with mask and vaccine mandates, but then we see governors like DeSantis, who did away with all that nonsense and has a thriving state, I woke up one day and said, I need to help. Well, I'm not running for office, at least not this time, but I'm going to be having as my guest some people who are running for governor, and the person running for governor is Doug Mastriano, and with every conversation and every Facebook Live post that I've seen of Doug, he is the man who will make sure this never happens to us again, and that's why I invited him to come. I'm honored, by the way, that he agreed to come. This is amazing, right? Another freedom fighter from across the bridge, Bill Spadia, will be there as well, and he's well-connected in politics. So why bring these guys to an event that's usually about finances? Because you can have all the money you ever need, but if your government restricts your movement and other freedoms, what are you going to do with that money anyway? So if you haven't signed up for this event, look, go. Go to 4mmw.com. It's April 24th. Go to 4mmw.com. Definitely sign up for it. Definitely be there. We're going to take a break right now. I'll see you guys in a minute.
Best of school. Those guys are everywhere.
Best of school. Those guys are everywhere.
Investor schooling.
Those guys are everywhere.
Investor schooling. Those guys are everywhere. Register for a free class at investorschooling.com.
All right, welcome back to Money Chat Now. I'm your host, Larry Steinhaus. And of course, if you'd like more information on investor schooling, you can go to investorschooling.com or call 866-424-2829, 866-424-2829. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening on WWDB Radio, 860 AM in Philadelphia. And if you're watching online, please hit that share button and hit that like button and let your friends know about how you can make more money. Come on, man, hit that like button. I want everybody right now, hit that like button on the air. Who's watching? Go like. I want to see those things, you know. All right. So far, we've been discussing the futures update, and right now the Dow is up 6, and it's about up 6 points. The S&P is up about 2, and the Nasdaq is up about 12. We talked about the COVIDiots and the fact that the idiots, COVIDiots, are all going to be wearing masks again in Philadelphia. Unbelievable. All right, coming up, we got Twitter and Elon Musk and how PC sales are falling. And then we have really interesting stuff on student loan news. And, of course, then we have today's picks and plays. But did you guys hit that like button? Come on, I told you, hit that like button. Hit that share button as well, right? And don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. And if you're listening on WWDB Radio, be sure and set a preset to this station and listen every day at 7:30. Hey, also look up Money Chat Now on Facebook when you get home and let me know what you think of the show. Come on now. It'll be great. Hey, also, real quick, just want to mention, don't forget to pre-order my book. My book is Money Hacks by Larry Steinhaus. Go there, pre-order it, and go to Barnes & Noble, pre-order it, or wherever books are sold. Pre-order Money Hacks by Larry Steinhaus. Okay, let's get into the second half. Let's talk about Twitter, and Elon Musk. Well, by now, you must be aware that Elon Musk bought a majority shareholdership in Twitter. He owns almost 10% of the company. I love that picture. That's hysterical. That's a great one that that was pulled up by my producer, Mike. That's hysterical. All right, he owns almost 10% of the company, and that's the largest single shareholder of the company. Look, if you were watching last week, there's been some discussion on Musk becoming a board member because of the high percentage of ownership. Well, as an interesting turn of events, Musk turned down the board. Now, if this news surprised you, it didn't surprise me. Musk didn't buy Twitter as an investment. That's pretty clear. He's not interested in the peanuts that this is going to bring his portfolio or make his portfolio grow because of this billion investment. By the way, that would be a Warren Buffett move, not an Elon Musk move. The defender of freedom and free speech is Elon Musk. So if Elon was on the board, he would have a single voice on the board of many, and you know, and basically he could be ignored. So as a board member, by the way, he's also limited to only 14.9% of the company, and this presents him from owning more and having more control. Well, if he takes over the whole company and either brings it private or increases his ownership to a point where he can replace the board, that could give him a goal of returning free speech to the internet. And we all know the most hated person on the internet is Donald Trump. And the internet decided to eliminate him because he was a threat. No, he wasn't a threat to this country, but he was a real and serious threat to the Nazi regime called liberals. And those guys are infiltrating our company. I'm sorry, our country, right? So the internet has censored all of these who speak an opinion of truth or anyone who doesn't fit their agenda of the devil-worshipping left. And that's why I believe Elon Musk is looking to take over Twitter completely and bring back freedom of speech, at least on that platform. Watch for this over the next few months. Twitter may actually be a good play if he continues to move forward with this. I'm actually looking forward to these changes, you know, changes in our government and the internet. Go Elon, and of course, let's go Brandon. All right, real quick, I got a couple of people online I want to say hello to. I got to say hello to Jane and Mick and Charles and James. I think I've got everything. Colin and Jane. All right, thanks, guys. I totally appreciate you guys. Let's talk about PC sales. So during the great scamdemic, many people were working from home because the draconian fear tactics of the go to work and die from the coronavirus were working. And this, of course, drove up sales of PCs, and many people upgraded their existing PC or bought more PCs for their homes so that mom wouldn't have to share a PC with their child. You know, this is extremely important, especially if their mom works for Disney. Who knows what porn the child might see on the mom's PC? So more and more PCs were being sold. Well, the chip shortage showed The chip shortage slowed down the delivery of these PCs, and now the demand for PCs is also slowing down. Gartner Group said yesterday that it estimated that PC shipments decreased 7.3% on an annual basis to only 77.5 million units. An interesting note was that most of the PCs sold in that time were actually Chromebooks. And for those of you who don't know, Chromebooks are the basic internet-only PC that connects via Google Chrome to apps and other office production programs. It's very inexpensive, and it kind of reminds me of the free razor theory. You know, you get the razor for free because they expect you to buy the blades. Well, Chromebooks works basically the same way. You can buy a Chromebook for about $100, and then when you use it, you have to use it with Google ID that allows you access to the internet. Google will then make all kinds of money off your searches and then the use of their apps. It's a really smart concept. Anyway, the sales of the Chromebook have dropped 7.3% this year, but they aren't the only ones. Apparently, all PC companies are also seeing a decline in sales of anywhere from 5 to 9%. As I researched it, I was wondering about Warren Buffett buying a huge stake in HP, and I'm wondering what he's thinking. If the company has a multiple, by the way, I have a multiple of 8.5%, which is a very healthy multiple. If you don't know what that means, come to Investor Schooling and I'll explain it. And it has a dividend of over 2.5%, and if you don't know what that means, you really need to come to Investor Schooling. You know, does he know something that we don't know, or is he just setting himself up for a future move in PC sales? I'm really curious. Anyway, the news of PC sales slowing down is important because it's going to affect the chip shortage in a positive way. Less demand for laptops will, of course, mean less demand for chips, allowing factories to make more of the other chips needed for cars and other electronics. I believe the car and chip shortage will end sometime next summer, unless, of course, the COVIDiots initiate more Nazi plays again. Look, you know, basically, I don't want to be in a communist country anymore, so I definitely would never move to communist countries such as China or Philadelphia. All right, let's talk about student loans real quick. I've said this many times before. Student loans are the most predatory tax ever portrayed on Americans. I used to joke and call it an intelligence tax, but then I realized that the only intelligent thing to do is either not get a student loan or don't go to college. Anyway, the lying president in his campaign promises said that he was going to eliminate $10,000 to $50,000 worth of student loan from borrowers who are being choked by this debt for colleges that help the student get his job at Starbucks. Well, of course, Biden lied about this. And, you know, he obviously did, you know, he obviously got their vote and then it's the end of it. But did he really need to get their vote anyway? Elections don't work that way anymore anyway, so I don't even know why he made promises he wasn't going to keep. But now that Biden has been appointed president, he fell through on the promises as expected. But here's something interesting that he did instead of forgiving the debt. The Biden administration is resetting all the people who are delinquent on their student loans. Look, I have to say that although it doesn't go far enough to solve the problem, I really like this idea. Yes, people, every once in a while, I like what the liberal scum comes up with, and I think it's a good plan, and this plan can help the average person. Basically, if you've been late on your student loans in the past, you would have a delinquency placed on your credit report, and this could and would adversely affect your credit score. So what will the reset do? It will effectively wipe out all the derogatory remarks about your missed payments on your credit report and your student loan. So on the other thing that's really good, and it's rare, it's for the rare person who qualifies for the student loan forgiveness, is it will actually help them get loan forgiveness. For government workers and teachers, if you have a student loan, you can qualify for forgiveness after 10 years. Why somebody would keep their student loan for 10 years, I don't understand. But if you're one of those crazy people who wants to keep their student loan for 10 years, one of the conditions that you have to qualify for the forgiveness is you could have never made a late payment in the last 10 years. So this loan reset is powerful, and it can make mortgages and car loans more accessible to people who've been falsely led to believe that they needed to have college to get a college loan, right? All right, real quick. I just want to talk about this real quick. You know, as an instructor on financial literacy, I often teach people how to build or rebuild credit scores. I often also teach them how to use credit properly. Hey, look, this and many other ideas is in my book called Money Hacks. You can check out the book wherever fine books are sold, and you can pre-order the book. For those loyal listeners and viewers, I'm going to be announcing a special book launch dinner. Pay attention to this. I'm going to be announcing a special book launch dinner on June 1st at the Sheraton Hotel in Oxford Valley. No one knows about this yet, so save the date on the calendar. And if you'd like to pre-order the book, go to barnesandnoble.com and search Money Hacks by Larry Steinhaus. We'll see you after this break.
Investor Schooling needs a new slogan.
Investor Schooling? Never heard of. Investor Schooling?
Never heard
of. Investor Schooling? Never heard of.
Any suggestions? No.
Investor Schooling? We never heard of you either.
Investor Schooling? We never heard of you either. Register for a free class at investorschooling.com.
All right, welcome back to Money Chat Now. I'm your host, Larry Steinhaus. And of course, if you'd like more information on investor schooling, you can go to investorschooling.com or call 866-424-2829, 866-424-2829. Real quick, right now, the futures are up 30, the S&P is up 7, and the NASDAQ is up 40. All right, so coming up, we have today's picks and plays. But did you guys hit that like button? Come on, you promised me. Hit that like button, hit that share button, and let everybody know what great stock plays are coming by sharing this information. And you could share this page in groups that you feel will benefit from it. Hey, share it in groups, will you? You could also leave comments on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. I see everybody commenting. I appreciate you guys so much. And if you're listening on WWDB Radio, set one of your presets to this channel and listen every day at 7:30 for all you need to know about the politics behind the stock market. All right, look, today's going to be an interesting day in the stock market. The day after a big drop usually means a good day. Look, I picked up some bargains yesterday when the market dropped. I bought into Meta and Apple as we head into earnings. In fact, the stock option Sultan sent a text message to tell everybody to buy Meta and Apple. If you don't know who the stock option Sultan is, come to Investor Schooling. I'm going to be watching the bank stocks closely this week, and JP Morgan tomorrow will be announcing earnings to start off earnings seasons. Come on, JP Morgan, we need a touchdown. I told you, earnings season to me is like the Super Bowl to me. JP Morgan having a good earnings is like, well, you know, like when my wife watching the Eagles score a touchdown in the first 3 minutes of the game. I'm still looking for my American Airlines to pop, and tomorrow Delta will report earnings, and that will definitely affect what I'm going to be seeing tomorrow. And real quick, before we, you know, just my last check, the Dow is up 20, the S&P is up 5, and the NASDAQ is up 24. Let's talk about Bitcoin and crypto real quick. So Bitcoin scared some of the people yesterday when it fell below 40,000 again. I got to tell you, you know, Bitcoin's an interesting play. You know, I'm waiting for it to go below 30,000 before I think it's a play again. You know, Bitcoin was a surprise to most people who held it. You know, people buying at 500, 1,000, 2,000, and the next thing you know, it's at 68,000. It blows their mind. But most of those people have traded out of it, or most of those people are keeping it because they have to keep it because that's who they are, right? But I'm not sure it's going to be the play that or the investment that people think it was going to be. The more mainstream it becomes, the less likely it'll move the way it's moved in the past. Look, I'm telling you right now, buy gold and silver. Buy gold and silver, buy gold and silver. They're going to move up nicely in a recession. And right now, gold is hovering around 1950, and silver is right about 25 again. Once again, of course, the Treasury bond is moving towards the 3% mark, and that's going to be bad. It's going to be a bad day in the market. Watch for it. When the Treasury bond moves above 3, I guarantee you the NASDAQ is going to tank. Look, oil is also back below 100, and it's around 97. And for a while, that was a leading indicator of what the market's going to do. I think the market is actually ignoring oil completely now. I think they're used to it. I also think that gas prices are going to go below $4. And that's basically going to be, when Biden stands up and goes, look, see, I made the gas prices go below $4. I raised them to $4.25 from $1.50, but yeah, whatever. All right. Hey, I want to thank all the listeners on WWDB Radio AM in Philadelphia. I want to thank you for your continued support. And of course, if you're watching in online, thank you again. Hey, my name is Larry Steinhaus. I'm the host of Money Chat Now, and I'm the CEO of Investor Schooling. And I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Make it a profitable day.